Have you ever wondered what it takes to operate not just one airport, but, well, a whole network of them across the globe, touching millions of lives every single day? It's a massive undertaking, really, full of complex challenges, and some surprising opportunities, too. Today, we're cutting through the noise. We're taking a deep dive into Fraport AG, one of the world's largest airport operators. Think of this as your sort of express lane to understanding a real titan of the aviation industry without having to wade through, mountains of reports. Our mission today, it's basically to unpack its intricate business model, trace its pretty fascinating financial journey, especially through all the turbulence of recent years, and explore the major trends shaping its future. We'll look at the incredible scale of its operations, how it actually makes money, the significant headwinds it faces, and, well, what's on the horizon for this global player. We're going to explore that delicate balancing act Fraport performs between maintaining its crucial German core and at the same time aggressively expanding its international footprint. Buckle up because this should be an interesting ride. Okay, so when we talk about Fraport, it's easy to just think of Frankfurt Airport, right? Germany's biggest. But as you hinted, this company is far more than just that single hub. It's a truly global operator. Can you help us unpack what that really means for their business?
Absolutely. Yeah,
spreading their wings, so to speak, they ensure that if one market hits turbulence, other parts of the portfolio can often, pick up the slack. It provides a crucial buffer, more stable revenue. Was largely a direct result of the post-pandemic recovery in passenger traffic. Simply more planes flying combined with some positive price adjustments they managed on those airport charges. It's founding.
Okay, so that's the side dealing directly with the planes and passengers coming and going. But airports, especially huge ones like Frankfurt, they aren't just transport hubs anymore, are they? They feel like massive commercial centers now. How does Frankfurt tap into that?
You've hit on a crucial point there. Yeah, that brings us neatly to the second pillar, retail and real estate. This is where a significant chunk of your profitability comes from, the non-aeronautical side. It covers managing and leasing all those shops, restaurants, duty-free stores you see when you're waiting for a flight. It also includes operating parking facilities, which is a surprisingly steady revenue stream, often overlooked, and even developing and renting out real estate on and around the airport grounds. This segment is generally less regulated and typically boasts much higher margins than aviation. It performed quite well in FY 2024, with revenue growing over 7% to more than €500 million. A key metric they watch very closely here, and it gives us a good insight into their commercial efficiency, is net retail revenue per passenger. Now, this figure slightly improved to 3.35 in FY 2024. It was 3.30s the year before. That might sound like a small change, but it indicates they're consistently finding ways to extract a little more value from each traveler, maybe through better store layouts, different product offerings, more efficient marketing.
It really shows how crucial that shopping and dining experience has become for airport operators like Fraport.
Right, makes sense. All right, so we've got the planes and the shops covered. What about all the really complex logistics, the physical work happening on the ground to make those planes actually fly and keep passengers moving? I'm thinking baggage belts, ground crew, all that stuff.
Exactly. That's precisely where the third segment, ground handling, comes in. This segment provides those absolutely essential services, but specifically at Frankfurt Airport, things like aircraft loading and unloading, baggage handling, passenger support, even pushing the aircraft back from the gate. Now, while it's crucial for the smooth running of the airport, this segment is also highly labor-intensive. And frankly, it has consistently struggled with profitability. In FY2024, even though revenue increased by a respectable 10% to over 745 million euros, the segment's earnings before interest and taxes, the EBIT, remained deeply in the red. We're talking a negative EBIT of over 80 million euros.
Wow, that's quite a loss. And worse than the year before, you said.
Yeah, slightly worse than FY2023. This persistent unprofitability acts as a, well, they call it a structural drag on the group's overall margins. You can almost think of ground handling as Fraport's vital but perpetually thirsty child, constantly needing financial support for the other parts of the business. It really forces the company to be exceptionally profitable elsewhere. Every euro they make from shops or international airports isn't just a bonus. It's almost a necessity to offset these ground handling losses. The core issue. Personnel expenses are just growing even faster than the revenue they can generate from these services. They shot up over 13% in FY2024. And this dynamic is made worse by industry-wide labor shortages and significant wage pressures, which are particularly acute in Europe right now. It means that simply growing the top line in this business can, ironically, make the losses bigger. It truly highlights how Fraport's overall profitability relies so heavily on the success of those more lucrative segments to balance things out. It's a real testament to the complexities of managing such a diverse operation.
That's a fascinating insight. It really isn't just about getting bigger. It's about strategically offsetting weaknesses in one area with strengths in another. Okay, so with aviation, retail, and ground handling laid out, what's the fourth pillar? International activities. That sounds like it could be a major growth engine, maybe even the future for them.
You're absolutely right. It is the primary growth engine. The international activities and services segment has, especially in recent years, really emerged as the group's most dynamic driver of growth. And in fact, it's now their largest revenue contributor. This segment is all about Fraport's expansion beyond Germany. They acquire, operate, maintain, and expand airports and infrastructure facilities internationally, usually under long-term concession agreements. These agreements grant them the right to operate these airports for decades, often, you know, with pretty favorable terms. In FY2024, this segment generated massive revenue over 1.9 billion euros. Now, even if you adjust for revenue from construction services, which can fluctuate depending on development projects at these sites, the segment's core operational revenue still grew by a very strong 13.6%. reaching nearly 1.4 billion euros. This incredible performance has really been propelled by robust traffic at key international assets. Think their operations in Greece, where tourism has bounced back incredibly strongly, and their airport in Lima, Peru, which serves a really growing market.
This segment is definitely where Fraport is placing a lot of its chips for future growth.
So it's clear the international portfolio is a really big deal, but how does this all fit together with Frankfurt, the company's traditional home base? Is it still all about Frankfurt, or is the international portfolio genuinely changing the game? What's the foundational identity here?
That's an excellent question. It really gets to the heart of Fraport's strategy. While that international growth is undeniably crucial, the Frankfurt Hub, or FRA, remains the absolute cornerstone of the entire Fraport group. It's not just Germany's largest airport by passenger volume, which is significant in itself for an economy like Germany's. What's perhaps even more impactful is its dual role. It's Europe's leading air cargo hub, a critical node in global supply chains. And it's the airport offering the highest number of direct connections worldwide. We're talking around 300 destinations.
300, wow.
Yeah, imagine the global reach that gives them. Its strategic importance is then amplified by this symbiotic relationship it has with Deutsche Lufthansa AG. Lufthansa accounts for over 60% of passenger traffic at Frankfurt. This creates a powerful, mutually beneficial setup. Lufthansa gets a world-class hub, Fraport gets a massive, stable anchor tenant. But, and this is important, this deep reliance also introduces a significant customer concentration risk. If Lufthansa faces challenges or decides to shift its strategy significantly,
Fraport at Frankfurt would feel that impact directly and immediately. It's a classic, high-reward, high-risk partnership.
Okay, so Frankfurt is the core, but with some risks attached. How does...
Well, that's where the international portfolio comes in as a critical diversification strategy. Fraport holds majority or full ownership in a really diverse set of international airports. Key assets include an 80% stake in Lima, Peru, serving that rapidly developing South American market. There's a 65% stake in a consortium operating 14 regional airports across Greece, tapping into that strong Mediterranean tourism. They have a 51% stake in Antalya, Turkey, another key leisure spot. And they fully own airports in Ljubljana, Slovenia, and two in Brazil, Fortaleza and Porto Alegre. These international assets operate under long-term concession agreements. often spanning 30, sometimes 40 years. And they have varied terms. Some have fixed minimum payments, others share revenue, some are tied to operational earnings, or EBITDA. This diversity provides a very robust, long-duration stream of international earnings. That's key to offsetting potential volatility elsewhere, like in Germany. And the company isn't just sitting on these assets either. They actively manage this portfolio. For instance, just recently, in 2024, they made strategic moves, like selling stakes in places they deemed geopolitically sensitive, like Delhi in India and St. Petersburg in Russia. At the same time, they successfully bid for a new 40-year concession for Kalamata Airport in Greece. That shows a proactive approach, optimize their global footprint, focusing on attractive, stable leisure markets.
Interesting. So if we zoom out for a second, what are the defining characteristics of this whole airport business model? You mentioned high investment.
Exactly. If we look at the bigger picture, the airport business model itself has some very specific characteristics. Firstly, as you said, it's defined by high capital intensity. I mean, just think about it. You need continuous, substantial investment in massive, long-lived infrastructure. Runways that handle super jumbos, terminals processing millions, complex baggage systems.
The ongoing construction of Terminal 3 in Frankfurt is a perfect example. It's one of Europe's largest privately financed infrastructure projects, costing up to 4 billion euros. This high
Secondly, there's a stringent regulatory framework. A large chunk of Fraport's revenue, especially from the aviation segment at Frankfurt, is subject to economic regulation by government authorities. These regulators often cap aeronautical charges, those fees airlines pay, to prevent monopolistic pricing. Now, while this limits their upside potential on fees, it does offer a degree of revenue predictability and stability, which investors like. And finally, these are long-term operational rights. As we discussed, concession agreements, particularly internationally, often span decades. This provides a very long-term horizon for operations and earnings. That makes airports quite attractive to investors seeking predictable, long-duration cash flows. It's fundamentally a business built for the long haul.
Okay, so we've covered the fundamental structure, how Fraport makes its money. But of course, the global aviation industry is incredibly dynamic, always changing, right? It's constantly buffeted by external forces, and Fraport operates right in the thick of it. So what are the big trends and pressures impacting them right now? What keeps them up at night?
That's a critical question. Because while the underlying model is robust, that external environment is constantly shifting. Let's start with the post-pandemic recovery. It's really been an uneven sky out there. Globally, passenger traffic has largely recovered. It reached about 9.5 billion in 2024, which actually surpassed 2019 levels by 4%. This rebound has been primarily driven by a strong resurgence in international leisure travel, basically. People itching to get away after lockdowns. And long-term forecasts remain pretty optimistic, projecting global traffic to actually double by 2042. That's fueled by global economic growth, rising middle classes, especially in Asia-Pacific and the Middle East.
So globally, things look good, but you said uneven.
Exactly. Despite this positive global picture, the recovery has been far from uniform across Europe, which directly impacts Fraport's home base. If you look at data for the first half of 2025, it reveals some stark European disparities. While overall passenger traffic across Europe grew over 4% year over year, southern and eastern European airports like those Fraport operates in Greece or others in Portugal and Poland have shown really strong growth. They're significantly outperforming their northern counterparts. German airports, unfortunately, have been what you could call laggards in this recovery. Traffic growth there was only about 2.3% in the first half of 2025. That's well below the EU plus average of over 4%. This creates a competitive challenge, obviously, as airlines look for the most attractive, fastest recovering hubs.
And I guess that plays into competition between the big hubs, too.
Absolutely. There's intense competition among hubs. London Heathrow was still the busiest in Europe in early 2025, followed by Istanbul, Paris Charles de Gaulle. It's a constant battle for market share, for transfer passengers, for airline routes. But it's not just about passenger numbers. There is also a critical structural shift happening in the European market. The increasing negotiating power of these large, consolidated airline groups. Think Ryanair, Lufthansa Group, IAG, British Airways parent. These powerful groups can leverage their sheer scale to play airports off against each other. They put significant pressure on aeronautical charges and other fees airports rely on. It's kind of a high-stakes game where airports sometimes have to make concessions just to keep those big airline partners happy and flying from their hub.
That makes perfect sense. The airlines, being the customers, want to minimize their costs, and if they're big enough, they can really push back. So what about the regulatory environment, especially back in Germany, where Fraport's core business is? Is that adding to the pressure?
Oh, definitely. This is really where things get complicated for Fraport. The regulatory headwinds in Germany are a serious concern. Fraport's own management has explicitly identified what they call excessively high regulatory costs in Germany as a significant competitive disadvantage. Just to use some context, since before the pandemic, German aviation taxes have more than doubled for short-haul flights, and they've increased by over 70% for long-haul flights.
Wow, double.
Yeah, more than doubled on short-haul. What this does is make Germany a significantly more expensive departure point compared to its European neighbors. And this isn't just a minor annoyance for airlines. It creates a structural headwind. It might be directly contributing to Germany's slower traffic recovery that we just talked about. There's a material risk here that Frankfurt could lose traffic to more cost-competitive hubs. Why? Because this high-cost environment could influence airline decisions on where to base their aircraft, where to allocate future capacity. I mean, imagine an airline deciding to fly more routes out of Amsterdam or Paris simply because it's cheaper to operate there. This home market risk poses a real long-term challenge to the profitability of Fraport's core asset, and it raises questions about the returns on that huge investment in Terminal 3. It's a fundamental issue impacting their competitiveness right at home.
Okay, high costs in Germany. What else is a major pressure point? Sustainability comes up everywhere these days.
It's huge. The sustainability imperative is another monumental challenge. Fraport has made a significant commitment. Net zero for its direct emissions, as Scope 1 and 2, basically emissions they directly produce or from energy they buy across the entire group by 2045. Now, that's an ambitious target, and it necessitates substantial capital expenditure. Think about investing in large-scale solar panel installations, securing long-term deals to buy wind energy, completely electrifying their ground vehicle fleet. It's a massive undertaking. Furthermore, they're preparing their infrastructure for the eventual large-scale adoption of sustainable aviation fuels, or the SAF. Now, SAF is seen as critical for the whole industry's decarbonization, but right now it faces significant cost hurdles and supply challenges. There just isn't enough of it, and it's expensive. However, airports like Fraport will play a crucial role in developing the infrastructure needed storage, pipelines handling to support its widespread use when it becomes more available. This isn't just about being green. It's about future-proofing their operations, meeting new regulations, and addressing what society expects. It's a massive, multi-decade transformation.
And beyond those big themes, what about more immediate headwinds they faced recently, say, over the last couple of years?
Yeah, looking specifically at roughly 2022 to 2024, there were several other broader industry headwinds that Fraport, like many others, had to navigate. The labor market has been a persistent challenge. They faced operational disruptions from both labor shortages, just not enough staff, and strikes by various unions. These negatively impacted traffic, especially in early 2024. Of course, this just compounds the existing profitability problems in their ground handling segment, where labor costs are already such a major burden.
Right, the unprofitable bit.
Exactly. Then there are the ever-present inflationary pressures, rising costs for energy, materials. It squeezed margins across the board. Everything got more expensive, from jet fuel impacting airlines to building materials for their construction projects. And adding to that, a new public sector wage agreement in Germany is set to increase personnel expenses even further from the second quarter of 2025. So more cost pressure is coming. Another significant factor has been geopolitical tensions. The war in Ukraine, for example, had a direct negative impact on Fraport's Twin Star airports down in Bulgaria, which historically got a lot of Russian and Ukrainian tourists. More broadly, conflict in the Middle East has also dampened traffic to that region, affecting routes and maybe passenger confidence a bit. And finally, supply chain disruptions played a role, particularly in aerospace. Bottlenecks in new aircraft deliveries directly affected key customers, most notably Lufthansa. That constrained their capacity growth, which by extension limited traffic growth possibilities at Frankfurt. So these aren't just minor bumps. They're significant, often interconnected forces shaping the entire operating environment.
Okay, so despite all these massive headwinds, I mean, labor shortages, geopolitical tensions, high German taxes, the huge cost of going green, where does Fraport actually find its competitive edge? What's driving its growth? Because a company this size must have some really significant advantages to stay afloat, let alone thrive, right?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? How do they navigate all that? Well, while Frankfurt Airport, FRA, was sixth largest in Europe by passenger volume in 2022, its recovery,
as we said, lagged some key competitors like Istanbul and Rome.
However, FRA maintains some core strengths that truly set it apart. It remains Europe's undisputed leader in air. Absolutely central. That deep Lufthansa partnership is a cornerstone of Fraport's position. As Lufthansa's main hub, Frankfurt benefits immensely from a stable base of both transfer passengers and people starting or ending their journeys there. Remember, Lufthansa Group accounts for over 60% of Frankfurt's passengers. And this isn't just a simple landlord-tenant thing, it fosters incredibly close operational collaboration. A great example is this SEER project, S-E-E-R Fraport, partnered with Lufthansa and its subsidiary Zero-G to deploy an AI-based camera solution. The aim: to optimize aircraft turnaround processes, getting planes unloaded, serviced, loaded, and out again faster and more efficiently. This directly boosts punctuality, overall efficiency, a big win for both. And importantly, it strategically addresses those long-term labor pressures by using automation. But again, you always have to acknowledge the risk of relying so heavily on one major customer. If Lufthansa stumbles, Fraport feels it immediately.
Okay, Frankfurt's strengths are clear, but risky. How does internationalization fit into their competitive strategy then?
Well, the power of internationalization has been absolutely key, almost like a life raft in recent years. The international segment has been the primary driver of the group's earnings recovery. In a really remarkable turnaround, the total passenger volume at their airports outside Germany actually surpassed 2019 levels back in 2024.
Wow, ahead of Frankfurt itself.
Exactly. That's a huge milestone that the Frankfurt hub itself hasn't achieved yet. It really highlights the difference in recovery speeds between, say, leisure-focused markets and more mixed traffic at Frankfurt. This strong performance, particularly from those leisure-oriented assets in Greece, where demand for holidays just exploded, and the dynamic growth of the Lima hub, effectively acts as a strategic hedge. It shields Fraport against the slower growth and higher regulatory burdens back in the mature German market. This international portfolio provides
crucial exposure to faster-growing tourism markets, emerging economies. It fundamentally rebalances the group's overall risk profile away from just relying on its core domestic. They've already made substantial progress. Piers G&H are completed. And interestingly, the retail and food and beverage spaces are apparently already fully leased out to concessionaires, which signals... No, not at all. The expansion doesn't stop in Germany. Beyond Frankfurt, they have major expansions ongoing at Lima Airport in Peru. That includes a whole new terminal and runway, significantly increasing capacity by the end of 2024. And at Antalya Airport in Turkey, another major tourism gateway for them, an expansion project aims to literally double capacity, with the first phase expected to be operational by early 2025. The sheer scale of this investment is remarkable. Group capital expenditure, or CapEx, was 1.5 billion euros in 2023, and then a staggering 1.85 billion euros in 2024. This isn't just routine maintenance spending, it's a profound, deliberate commitment to capturing future growth in air travel across their key assets.
That is an enormous amount of money being poured into these projects, billions in spending. It really makes you wonder about the balance sheet. What has Fraport's financial journey actually looked like through all this? Can you walk us through the numbers a bit?
You're right to wonder. The numbers definitely tell a compelling story, one of resilience, but also huge ambition and the cost that comes with it. Fraport's financial performance from, say, 2019 to 2024 has been a true pandemic roller coaster. Group revenue plummeted from 3.7 billion euros in 2019, right before COVID hit, down to a low of just 1.6 billion in 2020. That was the immediate, brutal impact of lockdowns and grounded fleets, but then it staged a really strong recovery. It reached 4 billion euros in 2023
and hit a new record of 4.4 billion euros in 2024. That rebound was driven by returning passenger volumes and those increased airport charges as demand surged back.
And profitable.
It did, following a very similar, maybe even more dramatic path. Group EBITDA, that's earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, actually turned negative in 2020, which are pretty shocking for a company this size. But it recovered impressively to 1.2 billion euros in 2023, actually surpassing the pre-pandemic level from 2019, and improved further to over 1.3 billion in 2024. The group result, their bottom line net profit, also got back into positive territory in 2021 and grew steadily, hitting over 500 million euros in 2024. So from an earnings perspective, they've shown a remarkable rebound. They're back to and even exceeding pre-pandemic operational strength.
Okay, but there's always a but, isn't there? What about all that spending?
It's exactly. This is where it gets really interesting, where that balancing act truly comes into play. Despite this impressive earnings recovery, free cash flow has remained deeply negative, and that's because of this massive capital expenditure cycle we've been talking about. Free cash flow, the cash left over after they pay for operations and maintaining assets, was negative 741 million euros in 2022. It improved slightly to negative 656 million in 2023, but then actually got a bit worse again, negative 674 million euros in 2024. This sustained cash burn has had a significant impact on their balance sheet. Total assets have ballooned from about 12.6 billion euros at the end of 2019 to 20.3 billion at the end of 2024. That clearly reflects the scale of investment in new terminals, runways, etc. And over the same period, their net financial debt more than doubled. It soared from 4.1 billion euros to 8.4 billion euros.
Doubled. Wow.
Yeah. Consequently, their leverage remains quite high. The net debt to EBITDA ratio stood at 6.4 times at the end of both 2023 and 2024. Basically, their debt load is more than six times their annual operating earnings. That indicates a company heavily financed by borrowing to fuel its growth. Their shareholders' equity ratio is also relatively modest, around 23.8% at the end of 2024. This high leverage is definitely a key point for anyone looking at Fraport.
That's a huge amount of capital going out the door, hitting cash flow, piling up debt. So how are they actually handling that massive debt load? And what does it mean for shareholders who might be looking for some returns after all this waiting and investment?
Right. That brings us directly to their capital allocation and shareholder returns strategy, or lack thereof, recently. Their capital spending, their CapEx, has been overwhelmingly directed towards finishing these huge expansion projects, primarily Terminal 3 in Frankfurt and the new terminal in Lima. Group CapEx actually peaked in 2024 at that 1.85 billion euro mark. But here's the absolutely crucial insight, the one that's fundamentally important for understanding Fraport's future trajectory. This capital expenditure is forecast to decline materially from 2025 onwards. Why? Because these massive projects are finally nearing completion.
The light at the end of the tunnel, maybe?
Oh. Exactly. This expected drop in CapEx represents a critical inflection point for the company's whole financial profile. That heavy investment phase was the main reason for the substantial negative free cash flow we just discussed. So as this spending winds down and the new revenue-generating capacity starts coming online, Fraport is positioned to transition. They should move from what we call a cash-burning phase to a cash-generating phase. This shift is absolutely fundamental to the investment case. It's the prerequisite for deleveraging their balance sheet, getting that debt-to-EBITDA ratio down from 6.4x, and importantly for shareholders, resuming dividend payments.
Right, the dividends. Had they had anything concrete about that?
Well, in line with this capital-intensive phase, Fraport's dividend has been suspended since the 2019 fiscal year. Their stated policy was basically to retain earnings to strengthen their finances during this massive investment period. Management has indicated they intend to reinstate the dividend in the medium term. They're targeting a payout ratio of 40-60% of net profit. However, and it's a big however, they've made this contingent on the net debt to EBITDA ratio getting down closer to a target of approximately 5x. So that reduction in leverage from the current 6.4x is the key trigger investors are watching for if they hope for a payout anytime soon.
Got it. And how are they managing the debt itself in the meantime? And are they still looking at acquisitions?
Good questions. On debt management and strategic acquisitions, they've been actively managing their liabilities to fund all this expansion. As of December 2024, that net financial debt stood at 8.4 billion euros. The company maintains a diversified financing portfolio, corporate bonds, bank loans, project-specific financing. They try to keep a balanced maturity schedule to manage refinancing risk, so not all the debt comes due at once. In 2024, they successfully show they still have access to capital markets. They issued a new 650 million euro bond while repaying another one, and they managed to maintain an average cost of debt around 3.2%, which is pretty reasonable given the amounts. It shows lenders still have confidence. Their acquisition strategy, meanwhile, seems focused on active portfolio management, optimizing for growth and risk. This is really clear from those recent moves, selling stakes in Russia, reinvesting in Greece with the Kalamata Airport concession. This aligns perfectly with the growth and sustainability pillar of their big Fraport .23Z strategy. It shows a very deliberate, tactical approach to shaping their future portfolio, always trying to balance risk and reward.
Okay, so after all these financial gymnastics, the massive investments, this global balancing act, what does the future actually look like for Fraport? What are the big opportunities ahead? And conversely, what are the key risks they're still navigating?
Right, the outlook is definitely a mixed picture, but still compelling. The fundamental long-term demand drivers for air travel, they seem intact. We're talking global economic growth, the expansion of the middle class, particularly in emerging economies, and that continued long-term trend of falling real ticket prices, making air travel more accessible. These factors are expected to support sustained growth in both passenger and cargo volumes for decades. What's really powerful here is that Fraport is well positioned to capture this future growth because of its huge investments in capacity.
The opening of Terminal 3 in Frankfurt in 2026, the new terminal in Lima at the end of 2024. These are the most significant...
Technology and sustainability are clearly emerging as key future pillars. The company's strategic focus on leveraging technology, particularly AI and digitalization, like that SEER project with Lufthansa, for turnarounds, is critical for future success. These investments are specifically aimed at mitigating the impact of rising labor costs, improving operational efficiency, and enhancing punctuality. Punctuality is a huge competitive factor for any major hub.
On the sustainability front, that commitment to net zero direct emissions by 2045 requires a profound transformation. It means significant investment, yes, but it's also... Right. Despite the positive long-term outlook, Fraport's business remained highly sensitive to economic cycles. This is vital for investors to grasp. A global recession, for instance, would likely lead to a sharp drop in passenger and cargo traffic, and probably a reduction in that high-margin retail spending per passenger as people tighten their belts. A key uncertainty that keeps many in the industry up at night is the long-term path of business travel. It recovered much more slowly than leisure after the pandemic, and it might face structural headwinds from things like Zoom and Teams. It might just never fully return to pre-pandemic levels.
That could hit Frankfurt quite hard, couldn't it?
Potentially, yes. There's also the risk of a modal shift, people choosing high-speed rail over planes for short-haul travel in Europe, especially in Germany where the rail network is strong. That could definitely impact the feeder traffic volumes into the Frankfurt hub, which is a crucial part of its whole business model.
So, given all these complex factors, what would you say are the absolute top risks that Fraport is grappling with? The things that truly keep their executives awake at night?
That's a crucial question for anyone evaluating the company. Firstly, there are significant operational risks. The sheer complexity of running major airports exposes them to potential disruption. This includes technical failures. Think air traffic control systems going down, baggage handling systems failing. That can cause chaos and massive delays. There are constant security threats. Labor disruptions, like strikes, can halt operations completely. And adverse weather can lead to widespread cancellations and big short-term financial hits. We see these things happen globally, and airports are right at the center.
Okay, operational risks. What else?
Secondly, Regulatory and political risks are ever-present. Freightport is highly exposed, particularly in its home market. Unfavorable changes to those regulated airport charges in Germany could directly hit Frankfurt's profitability. The threat of new or increased aviation taxes or environmental taxes is always looming. Plus, their big international portfolio exposes them to political and economic instability in countries where they operate concessions. A sudden policy shift or an economic crisis in, say, Peru or Turkey could really impact those long-term deals. Then there's economic cyclicality. As we mentioned, demand for air travel is closely tied to the global economy. A downturn hits passenger numbers, cargo, retail, everything. Their significant exposure to business and transfer traffic makes them particularly vulnerable to shifts in corporate travel budgets, which often get cut first in a recession.
Competition must be high on the list, too.
Definitely. Intense competition. Greport faces stiff competition from other major European hubs. Paris, Amsterdam, Istanbul, all fighting for those lucrative transfer passengers. And a sustained cost disadvantage in Germany, due to those high taxes and regulatory costs, could lead to market share erosion over time if airlines decide to shift capacity elsewhere. It's a fierce battle to attract and keep airlines. A very specific critical risk for Fraport right now is project execution risk. The successful on-time and on-budget completion of Terminal 3 is absolutely paramount to their whole medium-term financial strategy. Any significant delays or cost overruns would postpone that crucial shift to positive free cash flow, delay the debt reduction plan, and would likely hammer investor sentiment. It's a massive project, billions of euros, and it just has to go right.
And longer term.
And finally, yes, we need to consider those long-term structural changes. The post-pandemic world has definitely accelerated talk about permanent shifts in travel. A permanent reduction in corporate travel due to virtual meetings poses a structural threat to a really profitable passenger segment. Similarly, that modal shift to high-speed rail for short haul could erode feeder traffic into Frankfurt. These are profound long-term shifts that could force airports like Frankfurt to fundamentally adapt their strategies. Just briefly on valuation context, understanding all these factors is crucial. Fraport, as of early 2025, tends to trade at a noticeable discount compared to some of its direct European peers. Its price-to-earnings ratio, for example, might be...
But that kind of analysis is highly sensitive to when that free cash flow inflection point happens, hopefully post-2025, and assumptions about long-term traffic growth and future regulations. So how the market values them depends heavily on believing in that turnaround story.
Okay, so after this really comprehensive deep dive into Frankfurt AG, what stands out most to you? That's the ultimate takeaway for someone trying to get their head around this global aviation giant.
Well, what's most striking to me is that core tension right at the heart of Fraport. You've got this company with a high-quality, strategically vital core asset in Frankfurt. And it's bolstered by a genuinely successful international growth engine that's actually outperformed its home market recently. But at the same time, it's navigating these significant internal challenges, specifically that persistently unprofitable ground handling segment, which is a real drag. And it's facing powerful external pressures, tough German regulation, and the sheer weight in this massive multi-billion euro investment cycle that's just consuming cash right now. The critical importance of that post-2025 period, it just can't be overstated. That's when the big CapEx projects should finish, signaling that potential vital shift from being a cash burner to a cash generator. That really lays the path for paying down debt and for investors bringing back those long-awaited dividends. It's truly a company in a fascinating, very high-stakes transition phase. Execution on those huge projects is absolutely everything for them right now.
It is truly fascinating to see how a company of this scale, one that literally moves the world, balances such global ambition with these very specific local challenges. It's clearly not just about planes and passengers. It's about navigating this incredibly complex ecosystem, economics, regulation, geopolitics, technology. It really is a delicate, ongoing balancing act. So here's a thought for you listening. As we look at the future of air travel, will the increasing global focus on sustainability and the maybe permanently changed nature of business travel fundamentally reshape how major hubs like Frankfurt operate? Will it force a deep strategic shift? Or will the sheer, maybe unstoppable growth in global leisure travel just paper over the cracks of these challenges? And what might all this mean for how you experience airports in the decades to come?